Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Detroit. Good morning, Jerome Vaughn, news and program director from newest member station in the Takeaway Network, Detroit WDET. Jerome's with us all week. Thanks for being with us.
Glad to be here, John.
So it's kind of a bounce off the bottom this morning. We're looking at the futures trading on Wall Street when it opens in a couple of hours. Maybe there will be a slight blip off this 11 to 12-year low for both the S&P 500 and the Dow Jones in industrial average. But it seems to me like it's probably only a bunch of computer program trades covering short positions, kind of like the robots left over in the world of Wall-E, you know? It doesn't involve actual investor confidence. It's more of a knee-jerk reflex reaction. Basically, Wall Street is responding to the policies of the Obama administration in dealing with the banking crisis. Starting tomorrow, the government is going to begin examining how each of the country's major banks would do in case of some worst-case scenario for the economy. Now, that's a wonky way of saying what Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner referred to yesterday as something a little more succinct.
We're going to require banking institutions to go through a carefully designed, comprehensive stress test. This borrows the medical term. We want their balance sheets cleaner and stronger, and we're going to help this process by providing a new program of capital support for those institutions that need it.
When Geithner laid out his policy on February 10th, he borrowed a medical term. We've been borrowing a lot of medical terms to describe what's going on with the banking system. Joining us now is Jane Sassine, Washington Bureau Chief for Business Week. Jane, thanks for joining us from Washington.
Great. Thanks to be here.
Stress test, it's a cute name, but how would you design a stress test for a bank? And you've laid this out in some detail in Business Week.
Well, what they're going to do is basically look at different scenarios and different time frames. You know, if the economy continues to be really bad over the course of 1 year or 2 years, what that would do to the bank's viability, you know, how their debts, their assets versus bad loans, you know, that they don't get paid back on will play out. They'll also look at different situations like what happens if the unemployment rate goes to 9% to 10% or, you know, even higher. And look at how that would affect the bank's financial condition and what that the implications would be.
Now, is that a fair test for a bank like Citigroup? I mean, the suggestion there is that if the unemployment rate spikes, then there are going to be a lot more mortgage foreclosures. Are those the kinds of things that Citibank holds, or are they complicated debt securities that maybe don't have as much of a connection to the consumer market for debt and for loans?
It's a combination of all things. They're going to look for each individual bank depending on where its loans are, because if, in that example, if unemployment spikes, yes, there will be fewer mortgage loans repaid. There will be fewer mortgage loans taken out. There will also be fewer business loans taken because, you know, that would be a sign that the economy is in severe recession, and so fewer businesses would borrow money. But also the sort of complicated underlying securities that have troubled a lot of the banks, a lot of those would continue to do badly as well. So it's a combination. They're going to look individually for each bank at, you know, where its various business lines are and how they would fare under those conditions.
How would the government, you know, and banks are fond of having names like trust, you know, and you know, security corporation, you know, that sort of thing. I mean, how does the federal government put a past the stress test designation on a bank in a way that's useful to the banking public?
Well, that's one of the big questions, is what exactly they're going to do with this information and how public it's going to be, because, you know, the $64 million question right now in the markets for the banks is what happens if a bank fails, if they look at this and decide, you know, this bank just doesn't have enough capital if the situation gets worse. Now, what they're saying is they're going to use this to determine how much capital the different banks need and that they're going to stand behind them and put much more capital into those who actually, you know, are viable but may run into a short-term problem. One of the things the market's looking at is, well, what happens if, you know, some of these banks are really insolvent? Are they going to stand behind those, or are they going to let them, you know, basically merge them into another healthier bank, or let them, you know, essentially be restructured or even fail?
Well, you know, people like to use the term slippery slope. This feels a little more like Niagara to me, the falls, which is a slope that's precipitous. It doesn't necessarily give me a lot of confidence if the federal government puts a not dead yet designation on Citigroup for passing some stress test. It seems to me that it maybe postpones something rather than suggests that we've turned the corner.
Well, that's exactly the fear, and that's exactly why you know, a lot of the bank stocks have done really poorly recently is people just don't know what the significance of this is going to mean and how much more money it's going to mean the government's going to have to put into them, or whether ultimately they're going to get to a point where they realize in doing this test, you know, a particular bank just isn't going to be viable, and therefore they have to do something more severe and look to restructure them, like, you know, the FDIC does. You know, every week we see, you know, some small bank, you know, on Friday at 6 o'clock they announce they've taken over the bank, and, you know, that's a standard process, and they do it very well for smaller banks. You know, the real question is if they decide one of the bigger banks is in that kind of a situation, how would that play out? And that's what's got people rattled.
Jerome Vaughn here. Just want to know, do you see this as, you know, the possibility of having a self-fulfilling prophecy here, at least as far as, you know, sort of the regular consumer? They see that one of these banks is under stress, and so they pull their money out and on and on and on. I mean, is that a concern?
It clearly is, and that's one of the reasons you're seeing the government be so careful in its language about this, because obviously nobody wants to cause a run on a bank that's unnecessary, because that then can lead to, as you say, a self-fulfilling prophecy where people start pulling deposits out and then the bank ends up failing, not because it would have otherwise. So, you know, there is certainly some risk in that, but I think that what they're trying to do is avoid that and basically signal if they decide one of these banks, you know, needs more capital and it's viable over the long term, they're going to put the money in.
As negative as I sometimes tend to be, I can't resist asking the question. I mean, it seems like we might be past that point already. I mean, Jerome laid out one self-fulfilling prophecy scenario where depositors remove their money. But there's also the issue of if the economy gets worse today, okay, the bank can pass a stress test. It says, okay, these securities are worth something. These aren't. We're putting up this amount of cash to cover these bad securities. In 2 months, they have maybe double the bad securities. They got to put up more money. So the federal government is committed to actually giving more money to cover bad assets. And that just spirals. And then all of a sudden, federal government owns the bank no matter what. How do you pass a test like that?
Well, one of the questions people are asking is, as there's all this debate about, you know, are the banks going to be nationalized? Nobody knows exactly what that means. I mean, it's very unlikely that the government is going to step in, you know, today, tomorrow, or, you know, even a few months from now and say, we're just going to take over Citigroup or Bank of America or one of the smaller regional banks. But what is happening is they're now converting some of the shares, the preferred shares that the government took in the banks last fall. There's talk that those shares are going to be converted into normal common shareholders' equity, which is basically like regular stock, and that's going to give the government a much bigger percentage of the common shares in the banks. So what you're seeing is what's being called kind of a creeping nationalization. In other words, to refinance the banks, they're going to go from having a fairly small percentage of the shareholdings to, you know, what could be a majority stake in the banks, particularly if the bad write-offs continue and each time they have to put more capital in, they're going to end up each time going from, you know, potentially 30 to 40 to 50% of the bank shares. And, you know, there's the real question is, how is that functionally different from nationalization if essentially the government owns 50 or 60% of the stock of one of the banks?
All right, let's forget scenarios then. Jane, I want to put you right in Timothy Geithner's, you know, seat in front of his desk, all right?
Yeah, what would I do if I were him?
Well, not what would you do necessarily, but who are you supposed to be serving here? If you're Timothy Geithner, and when you make your decision about what to do about these big banks and the stress test and all of that, are you concerned most about the shareholders of the bank, people who are holding the common stock and preserving their investment? Are you more concerned about the depositors who have money in the bank? Or are you more concerned about people that the banks ought to be lending to if the economy improved? What's your policy priority?
I think the policy priority is to keep the banks functioning and running, which is essentially about keeping the economy going. I don't think, you know, all things being equal, they'd rather not, you know, cause the shareholders losses, but I don't think that's their top concern. And frankly, bank shareholders are already, the stocks are, you know, down. They're almost like penny stocks these days. So most shareholders have lost the vast majority of their value already. They're definitely concerned about depositors. In fact, I should say you know, the idea that there might be a run on the banks, there shouldn't be for in most cases because all these banks have FDIC deposit insurance.
Right.
That's
right.
Been raised up to $250,000. And there's a lot of talk that even if one of these banks ran into further problems, the government would back deposits beyond
right.
that. Well, they're not required to, but there's belief that they would. So, that's not less of an issue.
All right. Well, that's actually a good takeaway. So the top concern is the economy and the functioning of the banks. Number two would be the depositors, and the shareholders are down the list. That's actually heartening to hear. Jane Sassine, Washington Bureau Chief for Business Week, speaking to us from Washington. Thanks, Jane.
You're welcome. Nice to be here.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.